We experience God's word this morning as recorded in Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. We'll be reading Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of the Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
This morning, I don't know if some of you think I preach at you. Maybe sometimes I do. I apologize for any time that you feel that way. I hope to preach the gospel, but this morning I hope to share more than I will preach, probably. Not even so much teaching, maybe some teaching, but mostly sharing. Because we can sense sometimes that we are in our own little world, our own little church. We are the church, and we're all that's happening in our little world. I remember going when I went to Dallas Seminary. I was open. My eyes were open to really what the Lord was doing around the world. Because, of course, at a seminary, especially something like Dallas, there's going to be lots of missionaries coming there, lots of programs beginning from Dallas, brought to Dallas, Dallas helping, and all of that stuff. And so I hope to open our eyes a little bit this morning to what is happening in the world according to the gospel that Paul has brought us. First of all, a good thermometer, if you will, is the Joshua Project. If you've never looked at their website, just I encourage you to go there just one time and just to look at all the material, all the work that they do there. And to keep up with this is phenomenal. You can see that they've mentioned that there are almost 17,000 people groups, ethnicities, little groups, big groups of languages and peoples. And they've counted about 17,000. That in itself is quite a project. Of those, about 7,000 is unreached. That's about 41%. The world population is pushing 7.5 billion people, and about almost 2 billion of them are unreached. And the percentage of that is 42%. Now, what we mean by unreached, what they mean by unreached, is that they do not have a group of Christians there that are bigger or equal to 2% trying to propagate the gospel, okay? Now, we've got to be frank that this does not mean that they haven't heard, that some of these sections haven't heard, and that they don't even have Christians there. But a reached group is one that has at least 2% that have been that are Christian and working there. There's what it would be looking like if you went on their website. You can move your cursor around to any of those nations. It'll light up, and you just print on. You just tap on it. Here's a for instance. Here's America. You can see that the number of groups is almost 500. 84% of them is reached. Unreached. This 84% has been reached, okay? I don't know why that's put that there. The progress, you can see the green. It's green. It's all the way over. It's good. Up there it shows the population unreached. The largest percentage call themselves Christians. Let's stop there for a second. Christianity means everybody who calls themselves a Christian. It could be Catholic, could be Lutheran, could be Orthodox, Evangelical, whatever. So 77% of Americans call themselves Christians, and that's actually gone down significantly in the last 20 years. Evangelical is about 28% and 26%. That is questionable a little bit as well, but that's what they're giving us. But the big number that we want to pay attention to for America is the evangelical growth rate. Because that has to be, and this is just among those who call themselves evangelical, which also are those who say they would be born again in a major way. But it's 0.8%. To sustain a people, you have to be at least 2.1. So that is not a very good rate, okay, for to maintain evangelicals. For just another example, here's Russia. They have 180 groups. You can see that the progress level is in the yellow. You can see that 57% of them, lower left, call themselves Christians. 1.2 is evangelical. And their growth rate is pretty good as far as evangelicals at 2.3%. Now remember that in Russia, it's Russian Orthodox, some Catholics, but mostly Russian Orthodox. And the evangelical rate, you can see there again, is 1.2%. So what nations send missionaries? You're going to find out in our message today, Paul's message to today, it's all about sending. And that's why we're calling this a case for missions. So let's just talk about what it has been and what it is now. In 1910, you can see that just look at the biggest numbers there. Look at the red. In 1910, you can see that North America sent 223 people per million people, okay? So that's the number you kind of want to look at because, you know, nations vary in size. So we sent the most people by far, all right? In 2010, it's the same, but look at Asia. Look at Asia. It used to be 12 people per million. Now it's 135. So there's been a significant change in who is sending missionaries. North America still sends. In fact, the United States still sends more than any other people. All right? And I can share those with you later if you want to look at those. Just as a side note, who received the most missionaries? The people who need them. The people who need them? Okay, here's a quiz. Who can tell me who's number one? Who would like to guess? Okay, I heard Don say it first, so he gets the candy bar. Number one is America. Now, what's the reason for that? Because the church sees a need, because there's been a decline, and because we have the money to bring them over. So it all kind of goes like that. There's some selfishness in that situation there. However, there's also a need that God is filling. All right? So Paul's message begins like this. I hope in the Lord to send. Now, we'll finish this sentence in a second, but think about this. Paul is saying, I want to send somebody. And he's saying, I want to do it in the Lord. Now, we're going to list a whole bunch of reasons why somebody should go, why we should receive people. But Paul is saying, I am hoping to send because of the Lord, in the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, I want to send somebody to you. And so this is where this letter right here, if you read 19 through 30 as Don has done, and if you read it over again, this is the most personal section Paul has ever written to anybody. He cares so much for them, but there's several things going on, and we have to remember that he opened up the letter talking about their participation in the gospel with him. If you think about it, this is, in a sense, a lifeline for him, a lifeline for them, as he ensures that the gospel goes forward, okay? Now, he says, I want to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by your news. There's a couple things going here because he's going to send Epaphroditus as well. Now, why would he send two? Because he can get news from both of them, couldn't he? Epaphroditus could come back, although he belongs in Philippi. But why would he send Timothy? There's a couple things going on here. First, Timothy is a more mature. You're going to find out that he's a minister. He's a more mature minister. He's actually a pastor. And so he's an authoritative oversight. And he's going back to Philippi to ensure that the gospel is still preached there, that things are okay as far as leadership and the gospel is concerned and ministry. And then, of course, he says, I want to be cheered by news of you as well. The reason we know this is a type, because in Acts, you remember when Philip, remember the story of Philip? He was the one that talked to the eunuch, and then he kind of disappeared, and he ends up in Samaria and Ashdod down the coast. And but when he was preaching, the church got word that Philip had evangelized some people. So what happened was Peter and John went down there. Just read Acts chapter 8. You'll find that Peter and John follow up, and they go down there to baptize, and they go down there to ensure that things are going well. And then you're going to find out that Philip continues to go north up to just south of Carmel, the Mount Carmel there in Caesarea. You know who ends up there later? Peter. Remember Cornelius was in that town? And Peter had to go there and talk to Cornelius. So there's this oversight. There's this overlapping of work and emphasis in the scriptures helping each other out. And they, of course, in general, they always went in pairs in general. And so in 20 through 24, he says, for I have no one like him, that's Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Now, Timothy is not taking money back. Timothy is not taking money back and resources back. He's going to find out how they are doing, of course, as a church and their life, livelihood, and those things. But he wants to go back and ensure that they are a strong church and remaining strong. There's the oversight. And for they all seek, he's talking about them. When he says, for they all seek their own interest, he's not saying everybody else. He remember going back to the first couple of chapters that he's compared the church to those who are on the outside. And he also pointed to some others who were preaching the gospel for their own reason. And that's who Paul's talking about. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven work, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Now remember, Paul loves these people, and he wants to go himself to see how they are doing. They're going to be thrilled to death to have him come back. He was a large part of starting that church, and so there's a strong connection there. But there's some things here that we need to understand. How Timothy is concerned for the interest of Christ, and so is Paul. That's the primary quality of a missionary, of course. So there's some qualities in Timothy, some characteristics in Timothy, a dedication in Timothy, and some oversight by Timothy and Paul. And we'll get to a little bit more of that later. Then in 25 to 26, he says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Now, Epaphroditus was not a pastor. In other words, the head of the church. He was a part of the evangelizing and setting up Philippi, it seems, but he wasn't, it doesn't seem he was their head pastor. But look at all the things that Paul says that Epaphroditus is. He's a brother, of course. He's a fellow worker. He's a soldier. Now, there's a fellow worker, somebody who gets in and does the work, but a soldier is going to lay his life down. He's going to pick up the arms and defend the church. And so he's doing that, and he's a messenger, of course, and a minister. So this layman, who's not a Timothy, this layman is doing all of this work. And he's doing it because he cares for all of them. Verse 27, indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Again, there's Paul's caring for the church and Epaphroditus and vice versa. But in these verses, we see the heart and dedication of this layman who again went from Philippi to minister to Paul. He actually brought a gift from the church of Philippi to Paul, as Paul says later, that they lacked an opportunity to give. In other words, they didn't have an opportunity or a way to get some care and some gifts from their church, money, from their church to Paul. So Epaphroditus took it upon himself to go and see Paul and bring these gifts. And nearly died doing it. Doesn't say how. He probably was, it looks like he was sick, but there was some other things probably going on as well along the way. Verse 28 through 30, I am more eager to send him, that's Epaphroditus, therefore that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So he's bringing a gift. And Paul knows that the direct contact between the Philippian church and him is important, and that's why he's sending Epaphroditus. Now, he could have sent Timothy back and said, hey, fellow minister, stay here and help me, work with me and make sure. And when Paul was saying that, I want to see how it comes with me, he's talking about his trial. And so Epaphroditus kind of hung around. He was going to send Timothy anyway, but he wanted to send Epaphroditus because, think about this, that's the link to the church. That's a person that the church knows, and they know him well, and they've sent him, and now they're receiving him, and that's a direct connection to the missionary, the ministry in Rome and elsewhere, and that church. So, in these verses, we find some reasons to send and receive missionaries. Now, I want to stop here for a second. It would be very simple, and you're going to find out that most churches don't. And if they do, it's a little bit here and it's a little bit there. But here we find a good reason to be involved in mission work, because there's somebody on the other side, a Paul, a Timothy, a Mephosa, Gina and Brad Shaw this morning, that Dave brings up every single Sunday. We try to point out somebody that we are linked to. Now, I'll be frank with you. I'm probably the best one in contact with them, and yet I don't do a good enough job of sending to them and saying, you know, we mentioned you this morning. We pray for you this morning. I know Dan and Sue do a wonderful job with a few of these people, keeping a direct connection. So does Joe and Cindy still. There are ministers of this church. That's a way to minister. I've sent the newsletters to you. You're getting them now. Do not be afraid to send an email and say, you know what was said about you this morning, or we prayed about you this morning, or what I've done, we're thinking about you. They need that. They need to be comforted by that. And so that's a reason, so that I too may be cheered. Paul wants to be cheered by sending this missionary back. And your messenger and minister, so there's a messaging going on, there's some communication going on, and there's some ministering going on between the missionary and the church. And he has been longing for you. That's Epaphroditus. He's been longing for the church, and he completes what is lacking. He is bringing a gift. He's bringing so there's a ministry, but he's actually bringing something to the church as well. To Paul as well, from the church. And that's what we do with our mission fund. We're going to get more to that in a minute. What's the qualifications of a missionary? They're generally concerned for your welfare and the church over there. They seek the interest of Jesus Christ. They serve in the gospel. That is, they are actually involved in the good news, propagating the good news. They're a brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. They lay their life on the line for this, or willing to. Messengers and ministers, they long for you, and in Epaphroditus' case, nearly died. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. If you think about this, didn't Jesus do all of this? I mean, he actually did all of this. He sent and received. He actually did die. He gave. He fed. He did all of this. He cared. He tells, read the book of John. In fact, we're going to go through the book of John after Philippians. We're going to find out in the book of John how Jesus longs for you now. Even now, he longs for you. And so all of this is in the heart of a missionary, and we shouldn't, and we don't, by the way, we don't support any missionaries who are out for themselves that we can see. I mean, these people are laying themselves on the line in many cases. In John 20, 21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now, the reason I'm bringing these next couple verses up is because Jesus is still sending. You remember that he's talking to the 12, and he sent them, and one decided he didn't want to go, and then Matthias took his place. And so he's sending these 12 out, and he's saying, "I'm sending you," but watch where he sends them, all right? "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Well, we know James and the church did Jerusalem well. They did it really well. And in all Judea and Samaria, we just talked about Philip. We just talked about Peter and John going through Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth. Wait a minute. I'm sure those 12 didn't go to the ends of the earth. In fact, we have reports of their death. I think the furthest was, there's reports that Paul, who was not one of the 12, but there are reports that he went to Spain. Stephen may have gotten to Asia, they think, but we really don't know. But they haven't gone to the ends of the earth. How is that going to be done? That's through and by and with the rest of the church. That is through and by and with you. I'm going to make a case here that if you weren't involved, there would be a vacuum, a problem, okay? That somebody else either would have to fill. Jesus doesn't need us, but he's chosen to use us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We just saw that there's about 40% that are unreached in the ethnos group. And that's what that word is there, by the way. Okay, so Paul's, look at this, in this little section, in these several verses here, Paul says this four times. "I hope in the Lord to send. I hope therefore to send. I have thought it necessary to send. I am the more eager to send. Now, I've never said this, so I'll just pick on me. I've never said, I'm so eager to send. I want to send somebody. I would be grateful if somebody come up and said, I want to go to wherever, and I want you to help me. Well, we'll do what we can, and we're right with you, and all that stuff. But I've never said this, and in fact, we're already doing this. You know we're already doing this. Because Paul says, remember the verse in chapter 1? You are participation. You aren't in participation with me. The word is a paraclete. You've come alongside me in the gospel. You are doing this. We want to say, no, I'm not. But the reality is you are. And you need to know you are. You need to understand that you are. Do you know that Cindy is in Haiti right now? We need to support her in that. She made her way over there with a group. And we're going to try to help out because she's an extension and she's put so much work into here. And we need to know that we care for her. And she needs to know. And Joe needs to know that we care for her. And then, of course, Paul says at the end, I myself want to come. So there's this sending and receiving of missionaries. And we need to know if we're doing our part. Are we doing our part? Let's find out. Only 2% of the average church budget goes overseas. Shame on the church. I'm just going to say it. Shame on the church. Especially the Western American church. I don't want to go into how much money we spend on other things, but there's a little inkling here. Both evangelistic, that's for both evangelistic and charitable contributions. So let's say 1% or 1.5% go to missionaries for evangelists, and others are just to give, you know, with no gospel. There's one thing about sending the gospel with something and somebody. There's another thing in saying, you know, I just want to give. That doesn't do anything. The gospel has to go with it. 95% of offerings is spent on home-based ministry. 4.5% on cross-cultural effort to already reached people groups. That's our Native Americans. That's an example. 4.5% go to reached people groups. And 0.5% to unreached people groups overseas, and that's in the United States. Okay? The annual income of all church members is $30 trillion. Annual income of evangelicals is almost $7 trillion. 1.8% of our income is given to any Christian cause. 0.001% of the $30 trillion goes to unreached people. Now, this is sad. However, I wasn't going to say this. The Lord is getting it done. With or without us, he's getting it done. But I wish the church would step up a little more. About 25% of churchgoers give. Now, here we may be getting a little personal, but I want to establish something that I talked about years ago, a couple years ago here, and I want to stipulate something here in just a minute. About 25% of churchgoers give. The average giving is less than 3%. About 3 to 5% of church gives at least 10%. In other words, there's 3 to 5% of any one church that will give at least 10% or more. Okay? Now, I want to talk to you about the tithe real quick. This is just a side note. You may recall, for those who were there during the sermon that I gave, that there's no such thing as a tithe in the New Testament. You should not feel guilty about not giving 10%. The Lord is the spirit of freedom. Paul says, give according to your income. And so if the Lord says, hey, 12% for you, buddy, because you can do it. Or there's a need over here, reach out. Or you know what? Give those couple mites. That's what you can give. Do it. You see, he's the spirit of freedom and love. He's not the spirit of guilt. But the Paul does say, give what you can give according to your income. All right? So take these numbers as you wish. Use them like you want. The Spirit's talking to you right now. Use them like you want. But here's the need. Here's the need. This is a church in China. This church has about 5,000 members. Most churches aren't near that big, all right? This is an evangelical church, by the way. And yet, this church would not register with the government. You got a cross up there, you're a church. I want all the names and addresses of all the numbers. That's what registering is. I want your names and addresses of all your members. And they would not do that. So, they destroyed the church. I think these are soldiers. I think these are ministers and soldiers. These are witnessing. Now, I don't want to get into the reason why they wouldn't register and go into all that. I can say this, that most churches in China, most evangelical churches in China are underground. They don't have a cross on their, they're meeting in their homes. This is why they're doing it, because they don't want their churches destroyed. In 1900 in Korea, there was zero churches, none. Now there are 7,000 in Seoul, South Korea alone. In South Africa in 1900, there was 3% Christian. Now it's 63%. That's in South Africa, not the whole continent, just that nation there. There's a 34,000 person increase per day. India, 14 million of 140 million. That's 10% of the caste society. That's the lower class, the poor, 10% are Christian. There's been more Christians come in the last 25 years than in the entire history of the church. I think God's doing something. And in Indonesia, it's said that there's 10% Christian, 23 million people. Now, I'm not sure about some of these numbers. I will say this, and you can take this for what it's worth. We can make a case for this on some other teaching or whatever. But the Catholic Church, these are Catholics and everybody else, all right? So just take that for what it's worth. We won't go into the actual born-again evangelical numbers. In the communist in 1949 took over China. When they did in 1949, there was 1 million Christians. Now there are 60 million Christians. 70% of those are independent. In other words, they're not registering with the state. And currently there's 1.4 billion people in China, so the Christian rate is about 3 or 4%. Again, that's all denominations. The Chinese birth rate is 0.5%. 0.5%. Remember, you have to have a 2.1 to sustain a nation. They are 0.5 because they've got so many people. The Christian growth rate there in China is 10%. So in other words, you have 10 Christians and you gain one. You have 100 Christians, you're gaining 10. You have 1,000, you gain 100. So the Christian numbers are going up very nicely, 10%. The numbers are still relatively low compared with the population, but the percentages are very good. And besides that, there's more Christians in China right now than there is registered in the Communist Party. So that's interesting. By the year 2030, there's estimated to be 200 million Christians in China, 12.5% of the population. And by then, it's supposed to be the most Christianized country in the world. Those are new reports, just come out in the last couple of weeks. We'll see how that goes, and we'll see how the Lord will tarry. A little more interesting information. Here's what you do. When I came to this church, I remember I came a couple times and talked with the board and talked with the group and talked with Gary, and missions was on my mind. It wasn't number one, but it was important to me. And I found out how much missionary work you give, how much missionary offerings you guys give. Do you know how much that is according to our budget? About 20%. As compared to 1 or 2%, this church gives 20% of its budget. Now, it's helpful that the building is paid off and those kinds of things, but you're showing this group is a part of the Maposa's work and the Shaw's work and the Herschelman's work and Rachel Melhaff's work and others. You are a paraclete with them. You will be rewarded for that, whatever that means to you, but that's a fact. And Paul says that God has begun a good work in you, and he's going to complete it. And he's talking about the church, and he's completing that work. The point is that we are working. And am I here to try to ask for more? Well, maybe a little bit, but let me say this. Here's the best motivation you can have. You are a part of these people's work and others. You are doing this. And this is what we want to be doing. Yes, we want to preach the gospel here. Yes, we want to know about the future and those kinds of things that are all a part of the gospel. But Paul is saying, I hope to send. Are you hoping to send? Do you think about this? We need to think about this. And so when Dave or I, whoever comes up on Sunday mornings, think about our missionaries. Say a silent prayer for them and possibly give a gift. And if you're not, pray about it. So I'm not going to go down that list. And like Don said, maybe I don't even have them all. Now, I'm going to propose one, a new one. I'm actually using these as an example, but I am going to promote this couple. In trust, 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So here we have Sarah and Mohsen Gassemi. He is Iranian. She is Canadian. And they are in Turkey. You can see that behind them, it's called the Persian Bible Institute. What are they doing? First of all, you can't evangelize in Turkey. You can't stand on the street corners. You can't tell somebody about your faith. You get arrested. This man came from Iran, and he goes back and forth from Canada and the United States, him and his wife. And what they're doing is they're taking refugees out of Iran and sending them back to Iran. Do you know where the fastest growing church? It doubles China. The fastest growing church is in Iran. I was listening to a minister yesterday, and I'll be through here in just a minute. I was listening to a minister yesterday and he really made the point that yes, the Syrian war had to come about. Yes, the Ezekiel war and all that stuff has to come about. Yes, the migration, the immigration issue has to come about for some prophetic future event. However, God is using the immigration issue to bring people to Jesus. He's bringing war and decimation and persecution and to bring people to Christ. And this couple has laid their life on the line. He was in a refugee camp. He got hurt. He had a back injury the other day. Now they just removed a small tumor from his leg, I understand. And they built this institute in Turkey. They do a church on Sunday. They support refugees to come and live. And these are full-time students. They're not part-time. They're full-time students taking curriculum, Bible per curriculum, in Turkey. That's phenomenal work. And so I'm going to ask you and the elders for their support. But that's not why I'm doing this ministry, this message. I'm doing this message because it's next on the list. I'm doing this message because it's in the end of 2 Philippians. I'm doing this message because the Holy Spirit gave it to Paul, and Paul is saying, I hope to send, and I'm praying that I hope to send as well. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works will he do because I'm going to the Father. He went, and now he's putting his Spirit in every one of us to paraclete, to come alongside and give, to do even much more than Jesus could have done by himself. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. No matter what we decide with the budget, let's just lay that aside. No matter what we do with the budget, I am submitting to you that your work alongside those almost two dozen missionaries is not small. It's not little. It's important. And the Lord blesses you for it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of this church that you've given to it. It's such a significant part of what you're doing, Lord. And the math says, but Lord God, I pray that you will just set all those numbers aside for a minute in our hearts. And you will put your gospel, your words in our heart, that we can send and receive missionaries because we care. We can send qualified missionaries because we believe and we're concerned for the interests of not our own, but of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will help this church continue to do its work that it has done so for several, many years, that you will continue it for many more as long as you tarry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.